Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of October 24th, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. This mini-pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead. We're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what candidates are saying on the 2020 campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. Over the past week, several Democratic presidential candidates visited the Palmetto State, including California Senator Kamala Harris, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, and Tom Steyer, and spoke at Betty Henderson's cook-off in Orangeburg on October 18th. Now, instead of giving you excerpts from those speeches, which you can watch on youtube.com/SouthCarolinaETV, check out the SC 2020 playlist, we got an exclusive interview with Senator Kamala Harris. I caught up with her in downtown Orangeburg after she spoke with clients and stylists at Master's Hair Studio. In addition to her time in Orangeburg Friday, she attended the South Carolina State University homecoming tailgate, held a town hall in Aiken, attended church at Brooklyn Baptist in West Columbia, and spoke at a barbershop in Columbia. I asked her about her South Carolina strategy, how she plans to chip away at Joe Biden despite being stuck in the polls, her relationship with Congressman Jim Clyburn, and his influence in South Carolina, and more, including whether she has any hairstyles she regrets. And remember, like I said, we were right outside of a hair salon. And I mean, I have several hairstyles I regret as well. You gotta check out the photos of Gavin Jackson with shoulder-length hair. College. Now we go to our interview with Senator Kamala Harris. I'm joined with Senator Kamala Harris on Russell Street in downtown Orangeburg outside of Master's Hair Studio. Senator Harris, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with you and back in Orangeburg.
Yeah, quite different than Iowa, right?
It's just good to be back.
And you were talking about moving to Iowa about a month ago. You were saying you're really doubling down on Iowa. You also said you were doubling down on South Carolina. What's that looking like right now, and is that paying off that investment?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm here visiting with great small business owners in Orangeburg. I'm going to be doing some community events tonight. I'll be here for South Carolina State homecoming tomorrow. So, and then worshiping here on Sunday. So I'm really glad to be back.
And you've been campaigning in South Carolina for several months now, but you really haven't gained too much traction in the polls. We're seeing Senator Elizabeth Warren move ahead of you too somewhat. What does that say to you? And are you making enough inroads with South Carolina voters, in your opinion?
Listen, this is a long campaign, and we have put a lot of effort in terms of putting folks on the ground, and I'm spending time here. It is early yet, but all we are seeing it pay off in terms of the kind of enthusiasm we're seeing, the turnouts we're seeing. We're seeing so many people come out to our events, and so I'm very excited about the ground that we are gaining in South Carolina, and I think it's because South Carolinians know that there's so much at stake, and they want a leader who has the capacity to unify our country around the things that we have in common. And I think people are exhausted. They're sick of this kind of voice that's about dividing people. And I know I have a unique ability to bring the country together around our common values and our common hopes, and also around what we want in terms of a country that we can believe in, that fights for working people, fights for working families, fights for our children.
And when we're trying to introduce yourself to these voters, sometimes people are just now tuning in. What's the number one thing you want people to know about you, Senator Harris, versus your rivals such as, Senator Warren, former Vice President Joe Biden? What separates you from those guys?
Well, there are a couple things. One, I have a unique ability to unify our country. I have lived in many places. I've lived in many cultures. And I know in my heart and my soul, I am deep of faith in knowing and believing that the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. And I think that's the kind of leadership that people want in our country. I also have spent my entire life with one client, and that's been the people, fighting for the people, all people, understanding that regardless of your gender, your race, whoever you're registered to vote with, whoever you voted for in the last election, that you are part of a whole community of people that deserves to be seen and heard, and that a harm against any one of us is a harm against all of us.
Former Vice President Joe Biden calls South Carolina his firewall. He's maintained a 20-point lead. How do you view South Carolina?
I love South Carolina. I think of it, I feel like I am home when I'm in South Carolina.
And when we look at President Donald Trump, we just saw that he's going to be visiting Benedict College this weekend. Next weekend, you're going to be going there as well. What are your thoughts on him visiting his first historically black college? And what do you think about him talking about criminal justice reform, in your opinion?
Well, listen, I am a proud graduate of an HBCU. I attended Howard University. Besides my family, what made me who I am today as a member of the United States Senate and a serious candidate for President of the United States is having been a part of the HBCU family. And you know, it's too bad that somebody at that stage of life is just visiting an HBCU for the first time. But, you know, there is so much good that happens at our HBCUs, and that's why so much of my platform is about what I can do to make sure that we bring resources to our HBCUs, that we support our HBCU students, and that we understand their role in America's history past and their role in America's history present and future.
And keeping with Donald Trump, and you're talking about unifying as a unifier, people say that this impeachment process could divide the country even more so than it already is. Do you think we're already so divided that the impeachment process won't necessarily make it any worse? It's already kind of past that point of being too bad. We're already pretty much hardened when it comes to division in South Carolina, the United States.
The framers of our Constitution were brilliant in knowing that they needed to design a democracy that would withstand moments where there would be abuse of power. And so they created three co-equal branches of government and built into the design of our democracy checks and balances. So right now, as far as the impeachment process is concerned, it is about being true to the framers and to our Constitution and the design of our democracy, which is to say, yes, there will be checks and balances when we have a president who is trading taxpayer dollars for political favors with the head of a foreign government. That we will stand for our democracy when we have a president of the United States who has been openly obstructing justice, that we will stand for our democracy and fight for our democracy and say that we are better than this. And this is about us valuing the importance of knowing that if we are going to have a true democracy, there is a rule of law and there's a system of justice, and we must fight to maintain its integrity every day.
But do you think it's going to drive the nation apart further than it already is?
I think that what is going to be required, and that's why I'm running for president, is that we are definitely going to need to unify this country. And that is one of the reasons I'm running for president, to unify our country around our common hopes and dreams and desires.
And Bakari Sellers, one of your supporters of the summer, said that Congressman Jim Clyburn has been putting his thumb on the scale. He was kind of referencing how the congressman kind of helped Joe Biden out when they were talking about the crime bill. There's a lot of heat over that over the summer. I'm wondering, do you feel the same way that Bakari Sellers felt in terms of Congressman Clyburn essentially tacitly endorsing Joe Biden without endorsing him?
I'm not going to get involved in the punditry of elections, but I'll tell you, I have a great deal of respect for everyone you mentioned, and the voters are going to make a decision based on who is speaking to them around their values and their hopes and dreams for their children and their belief in the integrity and strength of our nation.
Do you talk with Congressman Clyburn a lot? Have you asked him for advice on how to approach South Carolina?
What
kind of advice has he given you?
He's given me great advice. I mean, Congressman Clyburn is a great American leader. He is a great leader from South Carolina, and he's given me great advice about what it means to know the history of South Carolina, to know its challenges. I just rolled out my plan for rural America, and Congressman Clyburn and the work that he has done was a very guiding principle in the plan that I've rolled out. So he's been very helpful.
And just kind of wrapping up here, we're outside of a hair salon. I want to ask you about hair really quick.
Okay.
It'd be an easy question. Have you ever had a hairstyle that you regretted personally in your life?
Not at the time, but looking at it 20 years later, yes.
Can I ask you what it was?
Oh, you'll have to see the pictures. They're all online.
And also for my podcast, too, do you listen to podcasts? Are you a podcast fan? Do you have a favorite podcast?
These days, yours is my favorite.
There we go.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Sarah.
Mama didn't raise no fool.
Thank you, Sarah Harris.
Looking ahead, we have a bipartisan weekend full of events. President Donald Trump will make his first campaign stop in South Carolina and will speak at the Bipartisan Justice Center Second Step Presidential Justice Forum at Benedict College in Columbia on Friday at 2:30 p.m. Other candidates will also speak. They'll start on Saturday, and they include John Delaney, Senator Cory Booker, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Senator Kamala Harris, Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and former Vice President Joe Biden. Now on Sunday, there will be several other speakers, including Senator Elizabeth Warren, Julian Castro, and Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. And there may be other campaign events surrounding this weekend, but as far as we know right now, Senator Warren will hold a town hall at the Francis Marion University Performing Arts Center Amphitheater in Florence on Saturday. Doors open at 3 p.m. You can follow me on Twitter @GavinJackson for more updates surrounding this weekend and on the 2020 campaign trail. Watch the remarks from Senator Harris and others who have visited the state on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page under the SC 2020 playlist. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased toward any candidate or campaign. We're just covering these candidates as they come through and as we can get to them. We're out there trying to get as much information for you so you can make your own decision in 2020. We'll bring you a mini pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. And let us know your thoughts on Twitter at @SCLeadPod. And follow us with the same handle on Instagram at @SCLEDEPOD for photos from the campaign trail, the studio, and of course our dank memes. Campaign Trail Bites is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson.